There are a good many Bible-believing, Christ-loving people for whom life is not turning out to be what they expected it to be. Not all that uncommon. And when they share their disappointment with me, my question is simply this. So how's your prayer life? I don't think you'd be surprised by the answer. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be with you again today as we're going to take a look at your prayer life from a different perspective. If you believe in Jesus, then you know that God is all-loving and all-powerful. He's this God who can completely transform your life. If you don't believe in God, then just humour me for a bit. Let's assume that Jesus is who he says he is, that God is all-powerful and all-loving, the God who Jesus came to tell us about. Then what follows from that is this. If God is all-loving and all-powerful, then surely he wants to make a powerful difference in your life and mine. And not only does he want to, he actually can. Yet the lives of so many Christians simply don't bear that out. There are so many people who love Jesus and want to follow him with all their hearts, but for them, God doesn't seem to be making any real difference at all, let alone a powerful difference. Why is that exactly? In the first few months after giving my life to Christ at age 36, I discovered something that greatly disturbed me. Not something that I uncovered only after years of study, but as a simple man with just a plain grasp of the obvious and a heart that was open to receive, it was something that rocked me to my core. The discovery was this, that prayer that yields powerful results is normal in God's sight. It sounds so simple, and yet the more I dwelt on that simple truth from God, the more it rocked me and it disturbed me. Why? Because my prayer wasn't yielding powerful results. I'd been through a cycle of delighting in prayer and then dreading it. In the first few months of giving my life over to Jesus, my prayer life was just awesome. I couldn't wait to spend time with God. It was a devastating time in my life. So much had fallen apart that my times in prayer with God were the highlight, in fact, the only light of my life. But as can happen in any relationship, when the day-to-day post-courtship, post-honeymoon reality sets in, my communication with God had sunk to lows that I never expected. I avoided him. I prayed out of no more than a sense of duty. I would have been embarrassed in those days to tell anyone about my prayer life, if you could ever have called it that. I was, in every sense of the word, a pauper in prayer, absolutely bankrupt, so it seemed to me. My prayer life was not what God set out in his word as being the normal reality of the Christian life. If anything, it was the exact opposite. I felt so weak. I felt so inadequate, so sinful, so condemned. And over again, I read about the powerful things that happened to people as they prayed in the Bible. The word pray, together with its derivatives, prayed, prayer, prayers, appears around 350 times throughout the Bible. The very first appearance is in Genesis chapter 20, which simply says, "He will pray for you and you shall live." Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. So what happens in response to this prayer? What was the result of this prayer? Well, Genesis chapter 20, verses 17 and 18. "Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, and so also healed his wife and female slaves, so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." Hey, it's a pretty powerful outcome, don't you think, for the first recorded prayer to God in the Bible. And the second story about prayer, just a few chapters later, Genesis chapter 24, verses 12 to 21, we don't have time to read it all now, has a similarly powerful outcome. So, what about the third story about prayer in the Bible? Well, let's take a look. Just one verse, Genesis chapter 25, verse 21. "Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived." Now, call me crazy, call me whatever you like, but to me, there's a definite pattern emerging here, a pattern that repeats itself over and over and over again right throughout the Bible. It is quite simply this pattern. Prayer that yields powerful results is absolutely normal in God's sight. In fact, prayer that yields powerful results is the only sort of prayer that the Bible actually teaches us about. Sure, there are a couple of examples of ineffective prayer, but God hardly endorses those. In fact, quite the opposite. And the whole of what God has to say about prayer from beginning to end culminates in these few words from Jesus' own lips, John chapter 15 and verse 7. Jesus says to his disciples, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Let me tell you something. I am not a natural prayer. I want to race off and do things, not sit around and talk to God. I want to get up in the morning and answer my emails or start working on a radio program script or do something. But what I've discovered over these last 20 years or so in walking with Jesus is this. The more I pray and the less I try to do things in my own strength, the more powerful things I see happening in my life. Do you want to hear me say that one more time? The more I pray and the less I try to do things in my own strength, the more powerful things I see happening in my life. It's that simple. It shouldn't be a surprise, but to many of us, it is, because we just don't live our lives that way. In fact, I became so passionate about this that I wrote a book. It was the first book that I wrote many years ago now called Unlocking the Power of Prayer. Now, what this doesn't mean is this. God is not some lapdog of ours that performs tricks on demand. God isn't some sugar daddy who, upon request, will give us every comfort and desire that we ask for. "Oh God, please make me rich," is not a prayer that gets answered all that often, I'm telling you. The key to what Jesus said is our relationship with him. Listen to it again. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." In other words, if we're close to Jesus, if we know what he wants and we listen to what he says, we'll know what to ask for and how to ask. If his word abides in us, we'll be asking things in accordance with his will. And at that point, let me tell you, the power of God starts to manifest itself in your life. The sort of power that helps you love the unlovable and touch the untouchable and forgive the unforgivable. The sort of power that gives you patience when you don't have any. The sort of power that helps you to hold your tongue when all you want to do is rip somebody's head off. The sort of power to walk the difficult road with Jesus, carrying your own cross and sacrificing your own life. The sort of power you need to change the things you can't change and to suffer through the things that you're called to suffer through. That's the sort of power, my friend, that changes our lives. That's the sort of power that transforms us and restores us back into the original image in which God created us, his image. Prayer changes everything. Prayer changes the most important possession that you have, your very life. Prayer changes your heart. When you do what Jesus said, pray for your enemy, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, he doesn't just change your enemy, he changes you. Prayer isn't some duty that we have to drag ourselves to. The more you pray, the more you want to pray because you experience the joy of fellowshipping with God. You experience the peace that comes from resting in him and waiting expectantly on him. And you see things happen in your life and around you and through you that you never thought were possible. Listen to me. Please listen. Prayer changes everything. The sooner you realize that, the sooner you start believing that, the sooner you start living that, then the sooner you'll find yourself on that road to the stunning life that God has planned for you. It's easy to come to the conclusion that life isn't turning out to be all that it was cracked up to be. But God, out of his great love for you, has a stunning plan for the road ahead, your road. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of my special edition book, Your Road to a Stunning Life, to help you live the life, the abundant life, that Jesus died and rose again to give you. Now, this isn't just one of my usual shorter books. It's a 10-chapter book that unpacks God's word to help you discover the amazing life that he has ahead for you. God's word is alive and active, amen? So I'm praying that he'll help you discover the life that he has planned for you through this book. You can request your free copy at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that ebook will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.